We bring to these microphones right now David James of David James Reports. David James Reports is available on our website, prophecytoday.com. If you go to the homepage, scroll down the right-hand side, you'll see the icon for David James Reports. There you will be able to find some previous interviews that we've done with David. Also, some of the articles that he's written on the issues that we discuss on this particular segment of Prophecy Today. I'm going to tell you something, David. It looks like we could stir up a hornet's nest with the conversation that we're going to have, the discussion today. There is a report that the Anglican Church made a decision last week on role of women in the church. They had a vote at the General Synod of the Church of England, again, raising questions of the role of women in the church. Please update us with what that decision was and how it came about.
Well, good to be with you again, Jimmy. You're right. The Church of England just recently voted overwhelmingly, as a matter of fact, to now ordain women to the position of bishops in the church. So this is the first time that they have done that, and it looks like the first woman bishop will probably be putting that position the first of next year, and looks like probably Gloucester, and then possibly followed by Oxford and Newcastle after that.
Well, this is not a new issue for the Anglican Church, is it, David?
No, it's really not a new issue as far as women being ordained and the role of women in the church. Women have actually been ordained as priests going back to 1994. It was voted on in 1992. And a lot of people may not realize this, but the Episcopal Church is actually a part of the Anglican Communion. It's actually the Anglican Church outside of the country of England. So, for example, it goes clear back to 1944 that a woman was ordained in Hong Kong in the Episcopal Church there. Actually, in 1974 in the United States, there were 11 women who were ordained to the priesthood in Philadelphia. So you're right, this isn't new.
Well, the Church of England title indicates that this is the state church of England, of Great Britain. But it's not a religious issue only. It's a political issue, is it not?
Well, it is, and it actually goes clear back to the 1500s when King Henry VIII wanted to get a divorce from Catherine of Aragon, and the Pope denied that divorce, or actually not just divorce, but an annulment. And so as a result, King Henry VIII broke away from the Church of Rome and established himself as the head of the Catholic Church in England. And this went back and forth a couple of times, but today, and has been for a long time, the head of the country of England, the king or queen of England, is actually also the head of the church. And also in the in Parliament, in the House of Lords, which is the upper House of Parliament, there are, I believe it's 26 members of the House of Lords are also archbishops or bishops in the Church of England. So decisions in the church are actually referred to Parliament as well, and in some cases have to be approved by the king or queen.
I've just got to ask you this, David. Is everybody in the Anglican Church on board with this decision?
Well, no. There has always been a relatively small group, basically two groups. One would be the group that would be called Anglo-Catholics. Now, they're a part of the Church of England, but they tend to follow in the tradition of the Church of Rome, so they have some allegiance there. And until the Church of Rome would ordain women, then they would be against that. And then there are also some evangelicals, conservatives in the Church of England. We might not think that's true, but there are some conservatives, and they would also be against that vote. But they were obviously outvoted this time.
And let me ask you this also, David, not just in England, but many denominations and churches here in America ordain women, do they not?
Well, yes, and actually have for quite some time. The United Methodist Church, for example, is probably one of the most well-known examples. The PCUSA, Presbyterian Church USA, ordains women. Some of the different synods in the Lutheran Church do. And so there are various groups throughout the U.S., and also going back many decades, there have been those in the charismatic church who have also been recognized as pastors and teachers, going clear back to Amy Semple McPherson with the Four Square Gospel Church.
Is this somewhat prevalent today as far as the United States church is concerned? I notice when I watch so-called Christian television, I see co-pastors, the husband and wife, they'll be heading up a church somewhere. That's what we're talking about, is it not?
Yes, that's true. There are many churches, and not even just what we would consider a liberal churches. In fact, there are many, really a significant number of Baptist churches, some of them liberal, but some not so much, that have co-pastors. Again, many charismatic or Pentecostal churches would. The Vineyard movement has a position where that women would be co-pastors or even senior pastors, and this would also be true in the Word Faith movement. So there are a lot of groups like that.
Talk to me about the issue of the role of women in the church. For example, some of our listeners may have heard the term egalitarian or complementarian. Now, I'm not quite sure what those terms mean myself. I know you are the research guy here. So explain the terminology and then talk about the basic argument that will be used by those who hold to each of these views.
These are the two technical terms that you will sometimes hear, so it'd be good if people were just aware of them. Egalitarian and complementarian. Egalitarian basically comes from the word equal, and it sees men and women as having the possibility of being completely equal in the church, not just in Christ, but also in all of the functions in the church, including leadership and teaching roles. Whereas complementarian, those who hold that view recognize that in Christ, men and women are equal with regard to our standing in Christ, but also that there are different functions and that God has made us so that we complement one another in life and in the church, so that together we are created in the image of God, and men and women most fully express the image of God when we work in a complementary fashion. And as far as those who would support the egalitarian view, or that women should be in positions of leadership, they point to women as judges and prophets in the Old Testament. They point to women serving in the early church. And then they would also point to the passage in Galatians, which talks about that in Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. The complementarian response to that would be that Paul, for example, has given specific instructions for the Church of Jesus Christ that in the context of teaching theology and having authority in the church, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 3, for example, that women have a specific role in the church, and it's different than men. And there are other passages as well that we can get into in just a moment.
Well, let's do that. I mean, we need to understand what God's Word says about both of these positions and how we should fall down in line with God's Word.
There are actually a number of passages and a number of principles that can be drawn from those passages that have to do with women, not only in church, but in the way the family is to function and the way men and women are to relate to one another. For example, 1 Corinthians 11 talks about that Christ is the head of the man is the head of the woman, and the head of Christ would be God the Father. You see the role of men and women in Ephesians chapter 5. There's a difference there. It's repeated in Colossians 3. We also see it in 1 Peter 3. And then specifically to the matter of the role of women in the church, we see it both in 1 Timothy and Titus. And specifically at the end of 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says that women are not to be in authority over men, and they are not to be in a position of teaching men in the church. And he actually makes two arguments. One reason has to do with the order of creation, that man was created first, then the woman, so that established the order that is reflected in 1 Corinthians 11. And then the second argument is that it says concerning the fall, going clear back to the Garden of Eden, it says that Eve was deceived, and we know that Adam willingly, with his eyes wide open, went into that and fell as he ate from the fruit. but it says Eve was deceived. So what happened was, actually, it's a theological issue where Eve was deceived by a theological proposition that was put forth by Satan, that they could become like God, and then he challenged the Word of God. So because we are complementarian, women are in a position of following, and God has created us to function in those ways, meaning that women are natural followers, which also means they're naturally more trusting, which means that you're possibly open to deception. And so in order to maintain the doctrine in the church and keep the church on track, God has simply said that men are to be the teachers and women are to follow. When it comes to men, the women might have other roles of teaching in the church, for example, children and other women, but this is the order that God has set.
Well, talk to me about the end time implications of a woman who is endeavoring to try to be other than what God's word says. I know that in the book of Revelation, when Jesus sent a letter to the church of Thyatira, he talked about the Jezebel in the church, which a person, a woman who was taking charge. End time implications of what this may mean.
As we really talk about week after week, all of these different topics that we talk about have end times implications, and it's largely because they're theological issues. And it's a matter of the church moving away from the Word of God and the clear teaching of the Word of God. And what that does is it weakens the body of Christ and makes it more possible for there to be widespread deception and even apostasy. So if we don't recognize these God-ordained roles of men and women as laid out in the Scriptures, then the church is very open to be drift away from the Word of God and be off track theologically, which opens us up to even the great end times deception that is coming. And my guess is that even during the tribulation that we'll see this being even more of a factor.
Yeah, I would suggest that is absolute for sure. We looked at this issue, women in the church, from a biblical perspective today. As you've eavesdropped on this conversation, I hope that you understand we're not attacking women. God places them in a position that is to be honored by their husbands and by others as well. We just wanted to talk about the role of women in the church. David, thank you for venturing into this danger area, this minefield with me today. Appreciate it, and we'll have another discussion about another issue next week.
Well, good to be with you, and I look forward to talking to you next week.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to take a look at the book. It's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.